Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Total Information AM.
It's over!
But wait.
We're going to overtime!
It's Total Information AM Overtime.
Overtime!
On KMOX.
8:33, and we're watching the president's tweets again this morning. Welcome into OT. Michael Debbie, John Hancock, Michael Kelly, Scott Vaughn here in Studio B. And President Trump on Twitter ripping into the FBI, saying the organization is in tatters. Is it going to work? He's going on the offense. Sometimes it works, sometimes it does not. Scott Vaughn, what do you think of these tweets about the FBI? How's this going to wind up?
Yeah, I mean, he's played that card a bunch of times. It's worked a bunch of times. However, this time you have people that were close to him pleading guilty to stuff. So I think it's a whole different scenario. Most of the time when he goes on the offense, it's sort of vague things that don't you can't really pin him down on. This time a person that spoke at the national convention for him, that he spoke up for many times, pled guilty to a crime. I think that changes a lot of the situation.
Well, you do have the one case where there was an FBI agent investigating part of the Mueller investigation who was sending anti-Trump text messages, and he's been replaced. So I think Donald Trump is referring to that in some of these tweets. I think it's a mistake for the president to be attacking the FBI via Twitter in the midst of this investigation. If, as I believe, there was no collusion with the Russians, I would be inclined to let that play out, let that fact set come public, and then and not be so provoking the bear.
Let me read the tweet to you. It says, had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI. That would be the first revelation of the president admitting that Flynn lied to the FBI. He has pled guilty to those lies. It is a shame because of his actions during the transition. There was nothing to hide. All that would be fine had the president not proactively asked the FBI director and countless others to drop the investigation. That's the case for obstruction of justice. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that what ultimately brought down President Nixon?
Well, yeah, it was a series of things that brought down Nixon. And
obstruction
Nixon
of justice, though,
resigning.
Right?
Yeah, over the tape.
He said
Trump's
lawyer
says that a president cannot obstruct justice.
Well, did he forget what history?
He said the lawyer wrote that tweet, too. And I'd like to also note that any tweets that anyone finds offensive of mine, my lawyer also wrote.
I didn't write any of them.
How do we determine, though? That's an interesting question. So how many of these other tweets that we've been talking about over the past year, how many of those has he not
written? Well, we know that Dan Scavino tweets a lot on the president's account. I mean, we do know that for a fact.
Those are the competent ones, like congratulating Rosa Parks and stuff like that, or what?
I don't know which ones they are, Michael. Uh-huh. But I think it is a mistake for the president to be going after the FBI on Twitter. I mean, if I were advising him, I would advise him, please don't do that.
John, do you think it would be better if the president somehow, if Ivanka took and deleted the Twitter app and didn't tell him how to download it again for about 2 weeks? Just see how it goes.
You know, it's never going to happen.
But let's ask this, guys. This weekend seemed to be especially nuts from the president and apparently his attorney.
A Twitter tantrum of epic proportions.
Was everybody taking the weekend off in the White House? Who was babysitting?
The worse the news, probably the more aggressive and maybe crazy the tweets are. I mean, I think that a lot of that stuff, some of his policies are actually pretty good ideas. Some of the, I don't know the tweeting, I just don't get it.
Well, there has to be smart conservative lawyers who could go sit with the president and say, hey, listen, I'm not a fake news kind of guy. I don't believe in conspiracies. You're making your case worse. Shut up.
I don't think the president would care. Do you?
Well,
do you really think he would care?
And look, what's happened here, and maybe this is the objective from President Trump. I mean, he has, if anything, he has solidified that 30% of the population out there that is his base, that is going to be with him come hell or high water.
Who believes that the CIA, the FBI, and all of the media are conspiring with the Democrats in this amazing amalgamation of people out to get him.
He has solidified that block, and they're going to be with him no matter what. Now, the problem he's got is that his disapproval ratings at 62 right now. It's very hard to achieve policy objectives when you've got a 60% disapproval rating.
Just passed a tax cut.
Well, I know.
Many things he does defy logic.
Well, did he, though?
Almost.
Just got one through the Senate.
I mean, we've got two very drastically bills, both the House and the Senate.
They're not that different.
Oh, they're drastically different.
They're not that different.
Okay, whatever. Mark the tape.
8:37 on December 4th for Michael Kelly right there. Hope you're writing that down. We'll take a break and come back in 3 minutes with traffic and weather together, and then some new poll numbers out of Alabama. 8:42, overtime continues. Michael, Debbie, Michael Kelly, John Hancock, and Scott Vaughn in Studio B. And President Trump this morning, just about 3 hours ago on Twitter, tweeted, "Democrats' refusal to give even one vote for massive tax cuts is why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama. We need his vote on," and he lists a whole bunch of issues and says no to Jones, a Pelosi Schumer puppet. So the president officially seeming to endorse Judge
Moore
in
the camp of child molesters over, well, he's for tax cuts over child molesters.
Well, the polls in Alabama have Moore, the judge in the lead.
Yeah, he's up by 6 points.
Isn't that a shame?
CBS poll has him up by 6 points. You know, I think this is a real concern for Republicans, because if this guy gets elected to the Senate, everybody on the ballot in 2018 is going to have to deal with Roy Moore. Every Republican on the ballot is going to have to deal with Roy Moore in 2018. I think you can make a case that electing somebody like Roy Moore sets the pro-life agenda backwards. This is not helpful, in my opinion.
Look, I mean, I think you also think this is the people of Alabama's decision to make who they want. Is it a little disturbing? Sure. But at the end of the day, I mean, how poorly are Democrats thought of in Alabama when they'd rather have somebody that's been accused of pedophilia represented in the Senate than a Democrat?
I appreciate that point, but let me tell you how good they're going to be thought of in 2018 as a result of Alabama hillbillies.
Do we have any tape marks of you saying the same type of stuff in 2016?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
How'd that work out?
Remember when you guys were all worried about the deficits, and now we don't care anymore? So, I mean, politics is full of hypocrisy, Mr. Vaughn.
That is a fact.
We're still worried about the deficit.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are, Kelly.
It's okay. It's only $1 trillion. The economy's going to grow, which it's never happened in the past.
Your argument is
it's going to grow, and we're
going
to see it happen, blah, blah, blah. You guys use the same talking points every time until you're in there. Then you go and throw the party and then let the Democrats come in and clean it up.
So you're saying no party cares about the deficit then, right?
Tax cuts.
Apparently, right now, no party. Apparently, right now, no party cares about the deficit. No, but you want elections.
Grown the economy. Tax reform. Lower tax rates have grown the economy every time they've been tried in the history of the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely grown the wealth of the richest people in America, and we're going to see that again.
JFK had a good tax cut plan.
Yeah,
he did.
I'm sure, and so did Bill Clinton.
No, he didn't. He raised taxes.
Well, I understand. That's exactly my point. Look, you guys, what JFK was in a drastically different situation than we're in today. We're in $20 trillion in debt. I'm one of the few people that's a Democrat that will say to you that not only do we need to raise taxes and raise revenue.
No, you're not one of the few Democrats.
Then
no,
we also need to cut spending. We also need to cut spending. That's the way you fix this problem. So when you guys finally get in, what do you want to do? Well, we're going to increase spending, which you've done, and you want to cut taxes.
That's a
it doesn't
fair
work.
Complaint.
It does not work, guys.
Republicans do not cut spending. They lie to the people that elect them. They never cut spending.
Well, there is no cutting spending if you take entitlements off the table.
And you have to include them. The baby boomer generation, the worst generation maybe of any country's ever had, would not pay their own way. They refuse to pay for the things.
How can you say that
about our greatest generation?
Watch it there, Vaughn.
This is the generation after the greatest generation. They wouldn't pay their way. They borrowed money on their grandchildren's backs so they could live a wasteful lifestyle. It was irresponsible, and now their children and grandchildren have to pay the bill.
Now Scott, you sound like a millennial Gen essay on Vox or Business Insider.
Technically a millennial.
Let me remind everyone that the federal budget debt increased from $12 to $20 trillion under Barack Obama.
Let me explain
Obama.
Part and, of why that happened, though, John, because you bring this up on the radio, you bring this up on TV all the time.
Yeah.
When George Bush started the wars, he left those off the books. It was Barack Obama who put the wars and the cost of those wars on the books, which actually allowed them to show up in the deficit. So you're exactly right.
And
it did go up because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that were kept off the books.
And a $1 trillion stimulus of spending that ballooned the debt over the 8 years.
$1 trillion worth of spending that saved Medicare, put people to in education here, as opposed to a $1 trillion tax cut to the wealthiest people in this country. I'm telling you right now, you guys are going to rue the day in 2019 when people get their tax returns back and they're like, wait a minute, I thought I got a tax cut.
They did.
They're we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
It's
They're
not going to happen.
They're temporary. They're permanent for corporate. They're temporary for the rest of us.
Temporary with a 10-year
I thought overtime was supposed
even
to be light.
Even the George
I'm
Bush...
I'm ready to take you both on.
Even
Let's
the,
go.
Even the George Bush tax cuts were kept by Barack Obama. They're not going to raise these rates again.
847. Hey, back on the topic we began with this segment, the CBS News poll shows that on the Moore allegations, 71% of Republican likely voters in Alabama say they're false.
Yeah.
17% say
those
people.
Yeah.
That's delusion.
That's shocking.
The things with like what happened Friday where Brian Ross reports something that a lot of people think the media wants to be true.
Yeah, but here's the thing that bothers me. It's like ABC takes responsibility.
Of course.
And the reporter takes responsibility. And the FBI is taking responsibility.
And we don't hear anybody say, you know what, the president's just flat wrong. Well, you know, he has a different style. We got to accept that he's just a different style, blah, blah, blah. He's wrong. You all are helping perpetuate this nonsense.
So now we're saying that when you make a mistake and you go, okay, this is wrong, we're correcting it, then you just get it jammed in your eyeballs. So you should just never own your mistakes like some people do and just let the false information lay where it goes.
I think it plays to what a lot of people thought anyway. I think that if people think, oh, well, Donald Trump's saying this stuff and convincing people, that he's saying things a lot of people think in their gut anyway. And I think stuff like Friday, it's not good. Even if you own responsibility, it's not a good thing.
Well, just because you believe in your gut that something you don't like to hear is false does not make it true.
848, back after this.
Thought-provoking conversation. Total information overtime on KMOX.
852, welcome back. Michael, Debbie, John, Scott, and another Michael in Studio B. And the college playoff teams are set. Clemson in Alabama and Oklahoma, Georgia. By the way, Missouri goes to the Texas Bowl. What do you guys think? Happy with the Final Four?
I am. I didn't think Ohio State earned the right to be in the Final Four.
The Ohio State University.
Yes, the Ohio State.
Here's my problem with Alabama making it to the Final Four is they may have the pedigree. They may have had the strength of schedule, et cetera, et cetera. They got to play one less game than everybody else. They didn't have to play in a conference championship.
True.
A couple of years ago, Nick Saban said, you ought to have to play in a conference championship to go on to the finals. So he gets one extra week of healthy players, and he gets to go. It's just unfair.
Well, Clemson's just going to mow right over them.
I hope so, Miss Monterey.
I hope so, too. Rawr. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
And I think Georgia beats Oklahoma.
I hope Georgia wins it all.
Oh, well, they could. Georgia could win it all. And the Clemson-Alabama game will be very entertaining, though. Clemson's got an excellent chance.
And you know what? Yes. I love how you say that correctly. Clemson. Because when I first moved to South Carolina, my husband got his master's at Clemson. I moved there from Kirksville, Missouri to Greenville, South Carolina. And people would go, tell that girl on the radio it's not Greenville, it's Greenville. And then I would say Clemson. People say Clemson. It's not Clemson, it's Clemson.
Clemson.
So you have to say Clemson.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Like there's a P in it.
I honestly could not tell the difference.
No, but aren't we all kind of like sick of Alabama? Aren't they like the Yankees where it's just like, come on, more easier are we going to make it
there's
for these
a lot
guys?
Of reasons I'm tired of Alabama.
Yeah.
A lot of reasons. Yeah. The state and the team.
I'm with you. It just seems unfair that they get to play one less game and go to the finals.
It could be interesting to watch people be against Alabama even more in a couple weeks. Like, there could be a lot of more
I see what you did there, buddy. I see what you did there.
That election is 1 week from tomorrow.
It's a good judge of the situation.
That election is 1 week from tomorrow.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, I mean, how does this play into us getting Stanton?
I don't think it has anything to do
All
with
roads lead to Bush Stadium.
Now back to me and my concern.
I didn't know.
I will be surprised if Stanton ends up here.
I would too.
I wish Mizzou would have went to Memphis for the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah.
But Memphis is more fun. Does sound like it is down to us and the Giants, right?
And it's up to him to choose.
I still think the Dodgers are going to wheedle their way. That's where the guy wants to go. He wants to go to the Dodgers.
What were the Dodgers able to give up? They don't have the team, the farm system.
They can take the money.
It's up to him though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Take it off or whatever. Alex Rodriguez did this
back
in the day. He wanted to go to the Yankees. Texas couldn't afford him. He kind of forced his no-trade clause to send him to the Yankees. I'm just kind of tired of stories about how he doesn't want to play for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
If you don't want to play for the greatest franchise in the history of organized sport, that's your problem, and we should move on.
Is this a coast thing where he's not going to accept anything that's in the middle of the country, flyover country, blah, blah?
Stanton and Mike Kelly in Saturday Night Live, they look down on us middle Americans.
Yeah.
Michael Kelly?
What am I getting thrown into this for?
You live here, Michael, in the city.
Let's attack the nice guy sitting next to us, but that pedophile, we'll let him off. Don't worry about him. Thoughts and prayers.
Just about a minute left. Real quick. Go around the table. Will Darlene Green sign the Scottrade Center financing package today as a judge has ordered her to with the deadline of today?
It's the city of St. Louis. Probably not. Good Lord. If you can find a way to screw it up and embarrass
people, I say she puts her John Hancock on the check.
Oh, okay.
Today.
I see what you did there.
I think John Hancock's right. I mean, it's the law. It's the law.
It's the city of St. Louis.
That was the law, and now a judge has told her to do it.
If she does this, will the city's credit rating be downgraded immediately afterwards as she says it would be?
Who knows? I don't believe that.
They should give Scottrade to the county. Let the county actually competently administer it.
So you're willing to raise your taxes to pay for Scottrade?
Not mine, personally.
Well, you're a county resident.
I
think it's one thing just to come in here and bloviate and
Do you live in a county?
He lives in Butler County people for that? No, I'm not for that.
Here's what's on tap, sponsored by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. John Hancock, what do you have after the top of the hour?
MU men's basketball coach Konzo Martin joins us in the next hour.
What will we ask him?
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.